Bulldog Arafat, Marty alongside. We'll take you to 300 after a good the Phil Benatius. Great show behind the bench, the full 3 hours today till 6. A few minutes after that, Los Gigantes, game two in Arizona, and did not go well in one inning last night. You know, I'll tell you one thing about baseball, and that is, and it was said a long time ago, and you don't believe it when you're younger, that the vast majority of baseball games are won by scoring in one singular inning. You think that can't be right, but it is right. Almost, but I don't know what the percentage is, but it is a well above 50% and beyond. I think it's closer to 75, maybe 80% of games are decided by one inning where you score the runs. That's why Earl Weaver never believed in bunting people over. Oh, Mr. Six-Pack or two for the Orioles, he believed in the three-run homer. And last night, the Giants had a 1-1 game that turned into a 7-1 deficit. And it was that singular inning that got him. And it is a crazy race for the wild card. And we'll go over that a little bit later on when I bring you the full schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. More information, and again, Ed does such great work at Fresno State, particularly for the Lyles College of Engineering. Those great engineers come out and work for a lot of local companies, including Precision Civil Engineering. But we'll go over the entirety of the schedule for 1430 and 790 a little bit later and talk about the implication baseball-wise for the Giants. By the way, the Giants have an afternoon game tomorrow. It'll take this show off the air, but Phil will be up as soon as the game ends. So be a lot to talk about today and tomorrow, and Phil will have that for you during Behind the Bench. Other reminders, one more time, about our good buddies at KFC. We talk about it every day, talking about the local operators of KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Terrific local people stepping in to fill the void and be part of the solution with NIL monies at Fresno State through the Bulldog Bread Collective. Again, bulldogbread.com. Bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Right now, KFC has a terrific deal going on. They have the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges back for a limited time. These are really popular. They're great fan favorites, particularly football season time. And so you can stop on in and pick that up right now. Also, the great Kentucky Fried Chicken Sandwich, the KFC Chicken Sandwich, bigger and better than ever when others are reducing the amount they give you and increasing the price of it. KFC continues with a great value for just $3.99 right now, the limited time for the Kentucky Fried Chicken Sandwich. So stop in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two, pick up hot and spicy wings, potato wedges, Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwiches, everything you possibly can, and tell those local operators thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State, and we certainly appreciate everything they do for the Bulldogs. All right, the other reminders here, one is the weather, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, also the people that bring you the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. That's how we bring up our guests, like Matt Norville, who will be with me today. And Phil not only has his guests through the hotline, but also callers from the general public. And on Thursdays, Phil will be at Fashion Furniture. You can give him a call there or stop by and see him. El Paso, across from River Park. As far as Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, local people, they have been around the Central Valley since 1981. And I've had them in to do work. They are terrific and very timely. And I'll tell you, this time of year, you got to be very careful because by the end of the week, we may get some rain again. And, you know, you can have the summertime heat beating up your roof in particular. So we not only talk about your plumbing and your central air all the time and your heating, but you got to be very careful to get that roof checked out before you end up with a rain or two that brings bad tidings in a part of your home you didn't expect, which I know from personal experience. Even after a 50-year roof was put in, evidently it was 50 years of leaking, not by Lee's, by somebody else, okay? Anyway, thank Lee's for the time to tell you about the weather, and it is the following. Fresno, California, in what is late summer, which we all know is still very much summer, 99 today, a low of 69, 98 tomorrow, 89, 88, 90, 92, 93 the rest of the week. So not bad at all, but it is going to become cloudy by Thursday. And again, initially they thought all the moisture would be up in the foothills, the upper reaches. Instead, now it looks like SoCal, particularly the LA area and the coast, they're going to get a pretty good jolt of it on Friday and maybe as early as Thursday, and we'll see how much of it works its way into the valley, maybe more of the south part of the valley, but we'll see what happens. And of course, we also have to be very careful because thunderstorms and the ensuing lightning problems follow, which can mean more battles with the wildfires that are still going on. As you know, though, I believe they have the Garnet Fire finally, after 3 weeks, pretty close to completely under control. Anyway, thanks again, everybody at Lee's for the time. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, 825-5337, 825-Lee's, or leesair.com for more information. Again, terrific people. Been around since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. All right, the final reminder comes courtesy of our great friend Joe Cruz and his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. They allow us the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. But first, we'd like to tell you about Joe's great business, celebrating its 25th anniversary at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can give him a call at 266-7473-266-PIPE. It's been a great success for Joe, who has been a longtime booster at Fresno State over three decades now. And success of his business has enabled him to help out things at Fresno State. And if you're someone who works right now at a plant, a maintenance person, if you're around a boiler service, any industrial need, a food service person, you name it, tanker delivery service, anybody who relies upon valves, if one goes down, your business can come crashing down in a big hurry. So what Joe has for you is not only terrific components like pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything you need from an industrial standpoint, but he is able to, on a same-day basis, if you can stop in or give him a call, analyze your problem, keep you up and running, and if that valve is down, he'll get it back up in a big hurry. If it's starting to fail, he'll make sure it doesn't become catastrophic. He's there. Gabe is there. They are two terrific guys. And again, more information on the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. And Joe loves to talk sports, loves to talk about Fresno State. And if you stop in, he'll address your issues with your particular business. And then if you have some time, he'll tell you how to donate to Fresno State. The best way right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link. So does Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports clubs, for instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me on most weeks, been preempted a little bit by the Giants right now. But Jack with me to talk basketball on the board of directors of the Timeout Club. They'd love to have more members. He said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, for more information, or email him at FurtigJack@AOL.com. And Matt coming up in a minute, and we're going to, other than football, which of course we're going to talk about, we'll try to touch upon some of the Bulldog basketball schedule as well. And Matt, of course, will be calling the women's games, and they have their meet and greet coming up. And I know the dinner coming up for men's basketball is right around the corner. And Jack will tell you all about it if you give him a call. And he'd love to see more members. And I hope Vance Wahlberg and everybody have the great season that we're pulling for. Others also have their links there for donation and to be involved with the sports clubs. For instance, the Dugout Club for baseball, other men's and women's sports as well there, under ways to give. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, the collective that is BulldogBread.com. Chris started at the station, handed it off to Marcus McMarion. Marcus doing a great job. NIL monies, any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, contact him. BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, everybody, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. We'll tell you a little bit more about it later on when we go over the schedules. Thanks to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All right, ready for our great friend Matt Norville, who did a terrific job with Cam and with Taylor during the telecast on Saturday. And Matt is not only undefeated, but he is a broadcaster who wins in a blowout. So let's bring him up right now. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. That's exactly what happens. Wins in a blowout.
Well, and look, you know this, and I've known this for a long time, and people maybe in the general public don't. But you have two different types of sports. There's baseball, which is a different animal in and of itself because the announcer has to carry the action all the time. But the good news about that is you have plenty of time to weave stories and do other things. Football and basketball are action sports, and particularly, and also hockey, where the action carries you. So what happens with the action itself is what determines how you handle a broadcast. And in football, it's a little bit of verbal ping pong between yourself and your color analyst, which is you describe, they are able to analyze back and forth. As long as the game is close and compelling, it's a wonderful evening. When it gets out of hand, that's when the challenge comes in. Because as opposed to baseball, you can't start weaving stories. They're still playing the game in front of you. So I will tell you, and of course, Cam's a longtime friend. I've known Taylor a while, and I certainly have known you now for a few years. The three of you did a wonderful job of taking a game that was out of hand in a pretty big hurry and making it informative and entertaining. And that's no mean trick, Matt. So I've said this to you privately. I'll say it publicly. I've said it over the air before. Those at the Pac-12 Network, Matt Norville needs to be on your network telecast as we come into this league, okay? So let's make that clear. All right, Matt, now that I've embarrassed you thoroughly, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Tony. Just enjoying life. Yeah, it was a blast on Saturday calling the game, working with the crew, and obviously I know Cam and Taylor quite well. I thought all three of us had really good chemistry, and more importantly, though, not about us, I thought Fresno State came out and handled business, Tony, and did exactly what they needed to do. And it was nice to see E.J. Warner have four touchdowns with no interceptions, build some confidence going into what is a big week this week on the road at Hawaii.
Well, I was just talking with Jackson yesterday. And by the way, Paul won't be with us this week only because he had a commitment yesterday and one today away from town, and then we'll be flying out to Hawaii. But Jackson will not fly out until Friday. Paul will leave with the team on Thursday. So Jackson will be with us on Thursday to reconvene, and we'll talk more about Hawaii. And Brian Panish, I think, will be with us on Friday unless he's flying from his home in L.A. to his home in Maui. All right, so you can all draw your own conclusions about that. It's a good gig, Matt, if you can get it. But as I was talking with Jackson, there is no margin for error in conference at all. You're only playing a very limited schedule of games, and one loss anywhere, Matt, can cost you a tie break at the end of the year. And without divisional play anymore, you're not quite sure who your enemy might be. You know what I mean, when the year ends?
Exactly, Tony. And that's why, I know, coaches, it's the old cliche, we've got to go 1-0. But that's why you have to keep the focus singular on that week's game. Because the second you start looking ahead and you stumble, you never know if that game's going to come back and get you. And, yeah, in the Mountain West Conference especially, I mean, Utah State looks like they're improved. Hawaii has just always been a tough spot to play, and their 3-1 game record is Fresno State. They beat Stanford earlier this season. New Mexico handled UCLA. I mean, you start looking at the conference, and we haven't even mentioned Boise State and a few others. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot closer in the Mountain West Conference than people think. Obviously, you think of Boise, you think of UNLV as kind of your front runners. Fresno State's got as good a chance as anyone as well. But it's going to be coming down, I think, for the coaches to keep their focus singular on that week and then do what they've been doing the last 3 weeks, which is be great in all three facets of the game. Their special teams has been outstanding, so that can be a game changer for you, as we saw against Oregon State in a game in conference. That could be the difference maker for you. They have an electric running back in Rashawn Speedy Luke, who is just, out of this world. I mean, I was talking to Coach Pat Hill, and he was saying he's not sure Fresno State's ever had a running back with his kind of speed that he can remember. And if that's coming from him, that's some fine praise. Of course, he's just talking about the speed aspect of it. But, I mean, that's a game changer in of itself. If E.J. Warner can continue to throw the football and make good decisions with it, I mean, they're running attack. The offensive line looks great. But, yeah, you've got to stay on that singular focus. Big week this week in Hawaii. Cam was kind of touching on how tough of a trip it really is. You go a day early. They leave on Thursday. They don't play till Saturday. You got to get acclimated to the time change. And then Hawaii's just tough at home, man. I think if you listen to the press conference with Coach Matt Entz, he kind of hit on how good they are at home. But I always say this is when the real season starts, Tony. 3-1 in non-conference, I think if you're a Bulldog fan going in, you're being realistic, you would say that's the record you wanted going into conference. You got to be very pleased heading into MW play.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As we were talking yesterday, that was kind of what the chalk would tell you now because of what we've seen from Oregon State. Now, it doesn't mean that Oregon State probably feels, and justifiably so, that they shouldn't have lost the game to Fresno State. But the bottom line is watching Oregon State struggle the week before Fresno State and certainly struggle the week after, when you look at it now, you say, okay, that's a game where the Bulldogs are more than likely the better team, period. You figured Fresno State, though Georgia Southern was going to give them a bad time, and they did for a half. They had the lead, as you know, in halftime, that the Bulldogs would win against Georgia Southern and Southern. And you thought that they might have a problem at Kansas, a little bit larger a score differential than you wanted. But they are basically where I kind of think most people thought they would be. Now, Matt, as you're pointing out, you really have to say good, bad, or indifferent. You have to wipe the deck clean right now. That's all there is to it. And looking at Hawaii, and you're right, historically the Bulldogs have had a lot of problems winning on the Rock. But Hawaii, for a lot of years, had a lot of trouble winning here as of late, and I mean in the last decade or so. The Bulldogs have had more success at Hawaii than the past, and Hawaii's had more success here. But guess what? It doesn't mean a damn thing on Saturday night. If the Bulldogs do not play well, they will lose that game. But I will ask you, if Fresno State is able to play the way they were playing last Saturday, even though the opposition is different, throwing a little bit early to open things up and then using the running game, do you figure they go to the islands and win?
Yeah, definitely. I think if they can do that, they will win on the island. I think one of the keys is, which if you look at Fresno State over the years, they haven't won on the island, by the way, since 2019. So it's been a while. Last time Fresno State knocked off Hawaii was 2022. So you look at those and you say, okay, it's been a little bit since Fresno State has defeated Hawaii. But I think the difference is if you think about how the offenses were run, a lot of it was spread attack, you know, high-powered offense against high-powered offense. Not saying that Fresno State's offense isn't high-powered, but this Fresno State offense is more of a time possession. They can control the game a bit at the line of scrimmage. So I think that you can have more of a balance. I know when I talked to offensive coordinator John Davis, it was funny. I said, rate your balance going into Southern. And he said 6 out of 10, and he was disappointed with the passing game. But I think after you leave that Southern game, now you sit here and you say, hey, we can kind of control the clock a little bit, keep our defense well rested. If they can force a 3-and-out, then we get the ball back, control the clock, get down there, score. Our defense is rested. Hawaii has to go down and try to score. And you can kind of control the game a bit from that aspect. And I do think the X factor is how good at special teams Fresno State is. Keep in mind, Dylan Lynch get the go-ahead field goal. That gets kind of lost because Embry had that pick six. But that was a clutch field goal. If he misses that, Fresno State loses that game. So you think about that. You think about how dangerous Petey Luke is at returning. So are they going to kick it to him? Or are they going to kick it short, which gives you better field position? I think Fresno State has a lot of positives going into that game. And I think the big one is just they can control the possessions. So you can limit Hawaii's possessions and make them have to tackle you, load up the box, and let E.J. Warner find some open wideouts or tight ends. Yeah, I think if they play like they did against Southern, I think if they play like they did against Southern or Georgia Southern or even Oregon State to a point, they can walk in and knock off Hawaii.
The issue of going to the islands, one of the things that happened, and like I said, there was a time that they were just never winning at the Rock, never. and then it started to get a little bit better. And when you talk about 2019, they have lost three of the last four, although neither, regardless of locale. But, of course, last year the Bulldogs had that game won, and they have themselves to blame, sort of, but they have the officials to blame more particularly because that was a blown call at the end of the game. Bulldogs had them stopped, had the game won, and the flag came down, and that was very unfortunate, particularly for Tim Skipper and the entire group. And by the way, we wish Tim well. I hope he gets a shot at UCLA. I don't know if he's just there to keep the seat warm or whatever, but I hope that he gets a legitimate chance there because he's a wonderful guy. But the bottom line is, Matt, one of the reasons, and you know, you mentioned 2019, because of COVID, they weren't there for a year. It hasn't been a bad time the way it used to be. And I think one of the reasons is because the coaching staff got used to going there and the players did. This coaching staff has never been there before. Matt Entz made it clear. He also made it clear he doesn't want them sitting in the hotel getting bored. And we know it's not so much, it's not like going to Vegas, and you know this, where you have to worry about your players sampling the nightlife. It is the island malaise that seems to get to them, okay? And do you think that this club right now, with a head coach never been there before, is ready to handle the fact that it can at times start to drain your energy a little bit when you're there before you even start? And Matt Entz even brought up the fact that though it's going to be in the 80s, the humidity, and it's an amazing statement, Matt, but it happens to be right, to say you're going to a place where people who are in Fresno, California most of the time are not going to be used to the heat. It's true. So all that combination, inexperienced coaching staff going there, the humidity, the fact you're there on a Thursday waiting to play Saturday, any of that worry you at all, or is that just for the media to talk about?
I think it's just for the media to talk about, but what I do say to that is that's when you rely on your leadership of your team, mainly your captain, to, you know, keep the team in line and let them know what's ahead. That's when you look to a Jacob Fulmer, you look to a Braca, you look to all your captains, and you sit here and say a Pearson, an AZ, and that's what you do. Because coaches can only do so much, Tony. That's the thing about sports. Coaches can say and do a lot, but they can only to an extent. And then you've got to have good leadership on your team, which Fresno State has. And I think that's why I wouldn't be as concerned as maybe in a year's past you might be. I think they have a really good leadership group, and I think they'll keep the players in line. They'll still have some fun, you know. Obviously, everything can't be football 24-7. Otherwise, you know, you're drained by the time the game even happens on Saturday, and that's not what you want either. So I think, yeah, they'll stay focused on the goal at hand. They won't look ahead. And I think they'll be ready to go. I do think that to look at it from a positive point of view, which you should be, they've won three straight games. So you're feeling good. E.J. Warner's coming off a good game. Not to use a soccer analogy, but I remember they were talking about a really good soccer player scoring goals against some bad teams. And the commentator said, who used to play, literally said, your job as a goal scorer is just to score goals. Like, it doesn't matter who it's against, and that'll give you confidence. Well, as a quarterback, your job is to win. He threw four touchdown passes. That's only going to give you confidence. I don't care who he's playing. So that's something for maybe the media, us media and fans to talk about. So from an athlete point of view, you don't care who you're playing. You score a touchdown, you get a sack. That gives you some positivity going into a very big game. That's why I said I really don't have that much concern. I think if Fresno State loses against Hawaii, it's just going to be one of those moments where, not that they weren't ready, it could just be a misstep here or a misstep there, or maybe a bad decision there. I don't think it's going to come down to preparation.
Well, and Matt, that is a great point. And, you know, a lot of times when we discuss, and certainly it has become a cause celeb again this year, because we've talked a lot about 2001 and with 9/11 just passing by, but also, we've talked about the three-game start Fresno State had and the great opportunity the Bulldogs had in 2001, and it came apart in back-to-back weeks after being 6-0. And I want to make this clear because when we were talking about Fresno State having to postpone the Utah State game the week of 9/11, the following weekend, the Bulldogs did win three straight games after that. It's not as though they lost their momentum because of the tragedy of 9/11. the Bulldogs lost on a Friday night against Boise State here when the Bulldogs were number 8 in the nation, and that was a 6-0 Bulldog team. The trouble was the following week they lost in Hawaii, and that turned into a devastating back-to-back stretch. But something about that, Matt, Hawaii, Ashley LaLee and those guys, they played great football. So at times the Bulldogs have lost to Hawaii because Hawaii, simply put, has just played a really good game. Came here, the mainland, one year and just blew Fresno State right out of the water at Bulldog Stadium. So in that regard, do you consider this a formidable Hawaii team, or is this to be determined?
Oh, no, I think this is definitely a formidable Hawaii team. I see this game as very even going in. Like, I see Fresno State as a good team. I see Hawaii as a good team. And I think who performs that day, obviously in every single game, who performs that day is going to be the winner. But I don't see it as, if Fresno State should lose, I don't look at it and say, oh, that's a bad loss. I look at it and say, that's just a loss that you could have won. It's not one of those that it's like, how in the world did you lose to Hawaii? Hawaii can play the game, man. They're 3-1 coming in just like Fresno State. It's going to be a good college football game that more than likely is going to come down to the wire. And it's just going to be who can, not to use that word again, but who can execute in the clutch. That's really what it's going to come down to. Can you perform in the moment? And that's where I would give the slight edge to Fresno State, because you already had E.J. Warner had to do that against Oregon State. Lynch had to make a big-time kick against Oregon State, and then the defense had to come up with a stop against Oregon State. So they have been there, done that. And I think if they get into that moment again, they can look back just a couple of weeks ago and have a lot of confidence. And, Tony, you know this. I know we use that word a lot, but in sports, it is literally just about confidence. If you've got it, you feel invincible. And if you don't, you feel like there's nothing you can do to help you. And I think Fresno State comes in with a lot of positivity. And I'm looking forward to the game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But I think the key to the game really for Fresno State is control the line of scrimmage. I know the coaches say that all the time, but I think more so on the offensive side of the ball, keep E.J. Warner off his back. And if you're able to run the football, you can then control the game, which then limits the touches Hawaii gets on offense.
Well, you know, the Bulldogs losing two of the last three at home against Hawaii, and they've lost three of the last four they've played against them. That should be motivation enough for this club. But beyond that, Matt, and I know it's very early, it would appear that this Fresno State team right now has a legitimate chance of finishing in the top two and playing in the conference title game. I don't consider that an overstatement, despite the pundits that picked them down toward the bottom. I mentioned that John Wilner in the Bay Area was trying to take this year and call it the Pac-12. In other words, pull all the teams together and pretend they're all playing in the same conference, though they're not playing one another, meaning Texas State's record. And he had the Bulldogs picked for 7 out of 8 and said, I only picked them as low as 7 because I thought their road schedule was too difficult. I believe firmly that Fresno State, if they stay healthy, will be in the top two. Is that overly optimistic?
That's not overly optimistic. That's just obviously something that can happen. I think no matter what, they'll be top four. Top two is tough, man, because you've got a lot's got to go your way. Do they have the talent and the coaching to be top two? Yes. It's just going to come down week to week. And the health word is a big word. I will say this one thing, and Cam kind of brought it up on our broadcast. He said he felt like it was important that Conklin got in the game just to get some snaps, just in case E.J. Warner happens to go down and they have to bring in Conklin. And I think that's where I look at the quarterback position, because in football, that's your most important position. It just is. And I think they have a solid number two in Conklin. It's going to be a different type of look of an offense, I think, in terms of Conklin might throw it a little bit more, maybe throw it down the field more. But you have two capable quarterbacks. E.J. Warner's your guy, and then you've got Conklin right behind him. I think that doesn't worry me as much. It's just on some, on a certain positions defensively is where I get a little concerned, and then on the offensive line as well. I just don't think you can take too many injuries on your O-line, because that seems to wreak havoc, especially, I mean, really in any level of football, but college football especially, that's a killer. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, football fans should be hopeful for top two. I see them more as top four and then see what happens. in the games to see if they can finish that. But talent-wise, yeah, they're as good as anyone. They could be in the championship game and win it. But if they stumble a couple of times, they could be, I think, as low as fourth.
Bulldogs, you were talking earlier, they won in 2019 there. They won in 2017 there. So they're on a pretty good roll until they lost in 21 there. But I am more confident in this team, Matt, because of the success they had for a while than I was at a point where you looked at the laundry list and it was as though if they were going to the islands, it's almost like you chalked up a loss every other year. If you don't whatever they're going to the islands, they were going to lose. Yet they seem to find a way to win. Now, when you look at this roster, do you consider this a cohesive club at this point? Because it usually takes that kind of cohesiveness in order to win. New coaching staff, not a lot of holdovers, or is it the same for everybody now? Is cohesion a thing of the past for teams?
No, cohesion is still very important. It just changes year to year. You used to have cohesion that you would say, hey, it's been built over the years, but now it just changes every year, and you build that cohesion in summer camp, you build it in training camp, and then you build it in the first few weeks of non-conference football. I would say Fresno State definitely has cohesion, no doubt about it. I mean, simple things. DJ Warner throws a touchdown pass. Tony, you should have seen the celebration in the stadium with the players with E.J. Warner throwing a touchdown pass. They genuinely seem like they like each other. We're not saying that's a big thing because I think sometimes that can be overstated, but I do think that's always a positive when you seem like you like each other. The offensive line as a unit, I mean, they're smooth, man. They really are. They play together. They play for each other. And the offensive coordinator, Josh Davis, said that they believe in the play call, which he always thinks is very important. And I think that just shows the trust that they have in their coaching staff. Head coach Lisa Rosen, who coaches the volleyball team, talks about trust all the time with their kids. You know, you got to develop not only trust for the coaches, but trust for each other. Well, they have that. I think all those things are positive. I think they're a cohesive unit. So everything is going in the right direction. Now it just comes on, you're going to be prepared. You're going to have the cohesion. You got to step on the field and you just got to produce. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as that, Tony. You're ready to go. You know you're good enough, but then you just got to go out and do it. And that's what's going to happen on Saturday. They just have to go out and produce and do what they're capable of and pick up. It's going to be a tough and difficult game, but they can pick up that win, and that'd be very good going into the bye week, which then leads into the gauntlet of the Mountain West.
You talk about the quarterbacking situation. You know, I'm amused and bemused by what's happening with the 49ers. They spend all this money on Brock Purdy, who they had a gift for, as you know, 4 years in a rookie contract, and they had to pay up. He gets hurt, and now after one performance against a less-than-great New Orleans Saints defense, you hear, well, maybe they made a mistake that Mac Jones ought to be their quarterback the rest of the way. Have we settled in your mind on Warner? You talk about the depth. Takes just one bad game and Conklin to come in for everybody starts screaming for the change. I mean, how do you view this? Is it just the nature of the beast?
Oh, it's just the nature of the beast. Who's the most popular player ever in sports? The backup quarterback. I mean, my goodness, yep. Everyone always thinks the backup quarterback, no matter what team, what level, is better. So if you get a quarterback at the NFL level and you paid him a lot of money, and then they go down and the backup comes in, you say, like you just said with the 49ers, did we overpay? Is that guy really not the guy? No, it's not to steal a line, but your starter is your starter because they are the best player. That's usually how the coach does it. They feel like they give you the best chance to win. Coaches aren't just throwing a guy out there just because they just like a guy. Yeah, you might like a guy, but if he's not good enough, you're not throwing him out there. So they obviously believe in him. No, I think it's DJ Warner's job. I think even if he has a bad game, I don't think he loses his job. It would have to be something drastic. He has several bad games it's a couple bad games in a row where you throw maybe three picks in one,
right,
two picks in another, and you get kind of blown out in a couple of games. Then I think, yeah, then you're looking at getting Conklin in there. But otherwise, I don't think it's one of those where E.J. Warner comes in the game, he throws a pick, you're down two scores at the half, and they're going to make the move. I don't see that really happening. And the reason I don't see that happening, it's not just so much a Fresno State thing, but just in general, you don't see that happen much because once you do that, it's not like a hockey goalie where you pull a hockey goalie, you're like, hey, it's just not your night, and then you bring in another goalie, and then that goalie will start the next day. When you do that to a quarterback, a lot of times you can kill a kid's confidence, and you don't want to do that if he's just maybe off that day or off in the first half. And a lot of coaches really believe this, and I'm one of those people too. I believe it. I believe if you really believe that player is the starter, you also believe that they can shake off a bad performance and they can become great. What do they always say? The best thing about great players is they'll have a bad game. Well, the next one is outstanding. And so that's why I don't think you would just bench E.J. Warner. Let's say he goes out against Hawaii and he has a couple of interceptions in the first half. Yeah, fans will be calling for Conklin, but I don't think the coaching staff makes that move.
Yeah, I'd said at the start of the year, I think you stay with him as long as you win. If you lose a couple, then you start to look somewhere else. You know, Matt, here's what I was talking about before that I think people would find surprising. Prior to 2005, in this series, it goes all the way back to the 60s, and obviously these two teams have played a lot because they've been in conference together a lot. But it was almost always Fresno State wins on the mainland and Hawaii wins on the Rock. Beginning in 2005, just real quickly for just the overall scope of it, the Bulldogs win in Hawaii but then lose in 2006 in home. They lose in Hawaii in 7, but then they, after losing in Fresno in 8, they win in Hawaii in 9. They win in Hawaii in 2011. They win in Hawaii in 2013. They win in Hawaii in 2015. They win in Hawaii in 2017 and in 2019. So I was mentioning, they've been really good if you want to look at the last 20 years, but then they started losing at home some. So does it mean both teams finally figured it out? I mean, Hawaii's not beating Fresno State as often here, but they were never winning here, and the Bulldogs were never winning there. Fresno State goes on this great streak, and then games start to get away at home. And, Matt, I would purport that last year's game was the game that kind of let the wind out of the sails for Fresno State. It was a critically important game, and, you know, the call was bad. There were two bad calls late, but the Bulldogs should not have lost that game. Does that weigh on the mind of anybody of Fresno State, or is it just so all new it doesn't matter?
Yeah, it's all new, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's a couple of kids, obviously, that it'll be in the back of their mind, but for the most part, it's all new. I mean, you got a new coaching staff, you've got a bunch of new players. And the other thing is, coaches will always tell you, too, every year is its own entity. So you just focus on the year, don't worry about the past, don't worry about the future. So I don't think it's going to be on any of their minds. I think what's going to be on their minds, Tony, is go 1-0. I know that's cliche, but that's actually all they're thinking is, hey, let's do our job and let's pick up a dub on Saturday and then enjoy the bye week and get ready for the rest of the conference season. So, yeah, I don't really believe it's going to be. There might be a couple of players that remember that game and kind of want payback, but I think for the most part, it's just, you know, the singular focus of, hey, we've got a big game on Saturday. As coaches like to say, we have a big opportunity on Saturday, and then it's up to us to decide if we go home happy or sad.
Matt, as I let you go, appreciate the time as always. Certainly be in touch. Matt will be with us during the basketball season on a regular basis and whatever time we have during football, and Matt has an opportunity with his schedule, we'll jump him in. But I did want to ask you about the basketball schedule for the men and the meet and greet for the women, things coming up. Looking forward to both men's and women's basketball at Fresno State?
You know I am, Tony. I love basketball. Hoops is my first love. It's my most favorite sport. I could watch anything from high school basketball, men or women, all the way through the professional ranks. Yeah, the meet and greet, by the way, is October 7th. I'll be emceeing that for the women's basketball team. I actually just recorded a podcast with Taylor yesterday with the women's coaches, Coach Ryan McCarthy and his wife, Jenna McCarthy. So that'll drop next Tuesday. So I tell people to tune into that. You'll get a nice little, get to hear a little bit about the team and then find out a little bit about the personality of the new coaches coming in for Fresno State. And then, yeah, on the men's side, definitely looking forward to it. More curious on the men's side, I'll be honest, on the women's side, just because it's his first year. I mean, I know he's going to play the mayhem style, and we'll see how the year goes. I don't put too much stock, as I've said many a times, in that first year. I kind of just go, hey, there's a lot going on. I'll start judging the coach in the second year. But with Coach Wahlberg, it is his second year. I want to see if he has depth this year, Tony. I think that's the main thing I want to see, because if he has depth, he can run his style. If he doesn't have depth, again, he's not going to be able to run the kind of basketball he wants to play. And so I think that's what I'm curious about. Their non-conference schedule, it hasn't been released yet, so I'm not going to comment on it because it hasn't officially been released yet. At least I haven't seen it officially released. I know what's going on. But I'm excited about a couple of matchups that are going to be happening during the non-conference campaign. But, again, I'm paying attention closer to the depth. I want to see if they have the depth. If they have the depth, then he can play his style. If they don't have the depth, then he's adjusting again, and then it'll be a very interesting year.
Matt, I always appreciate the time. And, look, make sure you tell Taylor, and if you see Cam before I do, terrific job on Saturday. It's not easy to jump in the middle of a year. I know Cam is there with the club every week, but to be a cohesive unit with a broadcast, a telecast, is a tricky issue, and you guys did a terrific job. And I always appreciate the time. And I'll tell you what, during basketball season, you and I will have a chance to talk not only about the men's team, the women's team, but we can lament the fact that Jonathan Kuminga is single-handedly going to destroy the Warriors between now and October 1st. I'll tell you this. If you want to make the argument that all Kuminga has is just one guy in his corner, it's the right guy. His name is Joe Lacob, okay? Otherwise, he would have been long since a wonderful talent and a royal pain in the ass. That's how I look at it. Any comment from you?
That's funny. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, I mean, the ownership loves him. Loves him, his upside and everything. But, yeah, it'll be very interesting. You and I will be talking about it. Also want to say I want to thank everybody that's reached out, all the kind words I've received from just people around the community for the broadcast, and I will definitely pass that along to Cam and Taylor as well.
All right, Matt, appreciate it, my friend. And I know you're holding out for your 3-year, $75 million deal, too. So I know that's exactly where you're at. You and Kuminga both looking for free agency. Matt, I'll talk to you down the road. Take care, my friend.
Anytime, Tony, anytime.
All right, our good friend Matt Norville will take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench for 3 hours today. And then the Giants, really at this point, fighting for survival. They've made a great run to get back in it, but now they've taken a step back, and there's a lot of dance partners around for that final wild card spot. We'll talk about that when we go over the schedule after this, as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 51. About 5 minutes ago in the show, hand off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench. We'll take you to 6 o'clock and then the Giants right after that. Again, entire schedule being brought to you by our good friend Ed Nuckel at Precision Civil Engineering Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. All there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioeng.net for more information. College of Engineering on campus, Lyles College of Engineering, and a proud graduate of Fresno State, has done so much great work so that students and athletes can rise together there. And we commend everybody at Precision Civil Engineering for their help financially at Fresno State. Now, as far as the schedule goes, the Giants 6-10 tonight. They and the Reds in a tie. The Cardinals are not too far back. The D-backs are right there, and the Giants still have two more to play with them. The Dodgers lost last night, which is probably good for the Giants because the Padres are closing in on the Dodgers again, and the Padres are in New York to play the Mets, and that's who everybody is chasing. So with the Giants, all you can do is the old Al Davis, just win, baby, and hope for the best. You've got two more in Arizona, including the afternoon game tomorrow that will take us off the air. Then you've got four in L.A. against the Dodgers starting on Thursday. Then you're home to St. Louis and to the Rockies to wrap up the regular season. So we'll see. All you can do is win and hope you can find your way into that final wild card spot, which is something even a month ago I didn't think was possible. But the Giants have made a nice run to get back in, and others, in all honesty, have cooperated as well. By the way, the A's are on 790 at 3 o'clock today, so they come up with a 3:45 first pitch from Boston, so check that out. As far as the schedules, Phil normally 3-6 with his great show behind the bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet, Great conversation. A Phil show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. You can always give them a call on the leesair.com hotline, 320-1430, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters, who is with Phil for high school football on Fridays, and some weeks Pat Hill. And by the way, they will be in Visalia for Hanford in Redwood, 7 o'clock the pre, 7:30 the kickoff for Friday Night Lights this Friday on 1430. But Paul has two really good shows for you. Wednesday, 6 to 7 in the evening on 790, our sister station, The Deuce. It's the Sunbird Sports Report, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then Saturday mornings on 1430, the long-running Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon from First Ring Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1, at att.net. First names are fine. I'll try to get to some of the emails with Jackson on Thursday. Mark, I'll try to get to your question whenever I can. Just a lot of other conversation I need to get to with the guests. But your overview of the conference coming up is a very relevant one, and we will get to it. Everything with the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You get the live links and podcasts there. Reminder about the NFL. We have everything for you. The Raiders, the Rams, the 49ers. Raiders have a tough one last night. Harbaugh, again, doing what he does. Very good when he first joins a club as a coach. We'll see if it's long-term sustainable or if he wears out his welcome. But he looked good last night. But we'll have all the Raider, Rams, and 49er games for you, not the Chargers. But also when they're on national radio, we will. We have the national radio games on Thursday, on Sunday night, and Monday. And Monday is always Major Wager Monday, a great time. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar in Dakota, Granite Park, get there around 5 o'clock, Carter and the gang there. Great prizes, great food, and the big screen TVs to watch the game, and sometimes games, as was the case last night. The last reminder is here before we jump on out. I thank our friends at KFC one more time for their great help with the Bulldog Bread Collective. Again, talking about the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And right now, for a limited time, they have the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges back on the menu. Again, a fan favorite, but not there for long. So jump in and grab them off. And also the KFC chicken sandwich remains bigger and better than anything else you can find for just $3.99. So stop on in the local operators. Tell them thank you very much for everything they're doing for Fresno State. And, of course, the Bulldog Bread Collective, Marcus McMarion, wants to hear from you, bulldogbread.com. Bread, as in on the table, B-R-E-A-D.com. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea. Also, for us coming up, World Series, everything from ESPN Radio, Super Bowl, everything from Westwood One, NBA Finals, the Lakers, of course, their games are on our air. The Lakers and everything from the NBA through ESPN. So we have everything covered, and high school-wise, after football, Phil, Paul, everybody, still high school basketball and baseball. So everything locally, regionally, and nationally right there with us. And then finally, I do want to mention that for those that have asked, the best bet right now, somebody asked me to explain geo-blocking. At some point, guys, I'll try to explain it without it taking 3 hours. But just say this, right now, if you have DirecTV, Spectrum Sportsnet has two different stations, one fully dedicated to the Dodgers at 690 channel designation, one dedicated to the Lakers, 691, that's 24/7, 365. But when the Lakers are not in season, they're able to use that 691 for other things like high school football. That's where you see the state playoffs or whatever. It's also where you will find the 49ers. I wish that were the case. Move them to L.A., get them healthy, and bring them back to the Bay Area. They're 2-0, and they're lucky to be 2-0. All right. The Fresno State-Hawaii game, 9 o'clock Saturday night, will be on Spectrum Sportsnet and will be on DirecTV Channel 691. That's if you don't want to mess with geo-blocking, with a computer, with an app, whatever. If you can get a hold of DirecTV or you have it, go to Channel 691 on Saturday at 9 o'clock at night. The game will be there. It will be the Hawaii telecast. All right. Thanks, Jorge, as always. Thanks to Matt coming up will be Phil and his great show, and then the Giants. And the final thank yous go out to our local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and the local operators at KFC, in addition to everybody at Lee's. And I want to mention one more time the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We'll see you guys in 2 days on KFIG Fresno.